It's good to be here. We thank the Lord. I was going to get right into the message. Not say anything silly. But we went to use the restroom. Another brother went in to use the restroom. Neither one of us had used it yet. That'd get too personal. And I heard the flush, and I could tell by the sound it wasn't going down, and I heard the brother say, "Oh, no." I thought, call Brother Reynolds. We've got a plumber in the house. Pot of humor always gets you in trouble, so I guess I won't say anything more. Deuteronomy. Chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. A preacher, pastor, does not work for the church. We serve the church, but we're not servants of the church. The preacher is called of the Lord to serve Him, to speak for Him, to speak forth His words. The great difficulty in the ministry when you're standing to preach the message the Lord's given you is keeping the flesh out of it. After 40 plus years, it's still a struggle. Preaching the message, delivering the word that God has given you, and keeping the flesh out of it. And when you're preaching the word, the message the Lord has given you, it is a habit of many a preacher to stop and qualify and explain. And stop. Because I said that doesn't mean I mean this. Because I said this doesn't mean that. So by the grace of God, we're going to keep the flesh out of it. We're going to bring the message the Lord's given us for this hour. And I'm not going to spend any time, Lord willing, explaining what I believe, or explaining to you what I don't believe. I'm going to preach the Word of God, and may God add His blessing, and may it all be according to His will. We lose much of the authority, much of the power behind our messages when we think we have to constantly explain what we believe so nobody accuses us of maybe being Armenian or not being a local church. Or if after I'm done preaching you have any questions about what I believe, I always ask you, just ask me if there's any questions or doubts. In this 18th chapter, I just want to read verse 15 through 19. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. The Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it. Moses was a prophet of the Lord, maybe the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. The Jews certainly believed he was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Some of their great offenses from Christ, from the apostles, from the early churches, was what they perceived were slights against Moses. Moses was a prophet of the Lord. And Moses speaks of the office of prophet in this portion of Scripture this afternoon. And Moses gives a prophecy concerning a coming prophet, one that was to come, that ultimately Moses is represented as a type of. A prophet is one who speaks forth God's word. Speaks God's word. Speaks forth. A prophet is one who speaks prophetically. Speaks of things that are going to come. Going to happen. And many times a prophet was shown to be a prophet by being able to do wonders, miracles, and great demonstrations of God's hand upon him. Moses spoke forth God's word. Moses spoke prophetically many times. And God allowed Moses, God worked through Moses, God used Moses to do many wonders and miracles. When he was reluctant to go before Pharaoh, God said, I'll go with you, and I'll give you signs, and I'll give you displays of my power and who I am, to give accreditation to you. In this portion of Scripture, there is a prophet that Moses is a type of, promised and prophesied about and said would one day come. In verse 15 and again in verse number 18, we see that he would be a Jewish man. We see that he would be like Moses. And we see that he would be given God's word, would speak God's word. In John chapter 6, turn over there, John chapter 6. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Here we see, and there are several other passages in Scripture, where men identify Jesus as that prophet, that promised prophet from our text. You go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 21, and they ask him, they ask John the Baptist, what then, art thou Elias? He saith, I am not. art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist identified Jesus not only as the Lamb of God, but I believe he plainly identifies Jesus as that prophet that was prophesied and spoken of there in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Book of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Jesus identifies himself as a prophet of God. Jesus said on more than one occasion, the words that I speak, the message that I have, the doctrine that I preach, I got from my Father. He delivered to me what I said, what I say, what I declare, and what I teach. Deuteronomy chapter 18, God told Moses, not about a prophet, but about the prophet. Jesus Christ holds the office of prophet, priest, and king. And in our text, Moses, a prophet, received of the Lord a prophecy concerning Jesus, the prophet that was to come. He meets the requirements of the text. He was Jewish. He was a prophet like unto Moses. He had been given the word of God. We're not going to turn there. We'll hasten along. In Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching there after the miracle that they had performed, him and John, I think it was. And he plainly tells us that Jesus, the Messiah, was the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning the prophet that Moses received there in Deuteronomy chapter 18. You can look in Acts 3, verse 22 through 26. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen's preaching. And Stephen identifies Jesus as the prophet in the prophecy that was spoken by the prophet Moses there in Deuteronomy chapter 18. John chapter 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. And we see there in the books of Moses, Jesus promised and prophesied as the prophet of God that would one day come and did come. Jesus Christ was that prophet. Jesus Christ was the prophet of God. And when Jesus Christ was here, he declared some things as the prophet of God. He declared the word, teachings, the doctrines of God. He declared many things prophetically. And he was certainly given many signs and marks to identify him as the prophet of the Lord. Look in Mark chapter 1, first of all. Mark chapter 1. Mark the first chapter, verse 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, this is the Lord's message. Verse 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus Christ, the prophet of God, declared that the kingdom had come. Not that it was yet to come, but it had come. He brought the kingdom of God into the world when he came. The kingdom of which he was one day going to set as a king upon the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem. And he declared the kingdom had come. Just as the prophecy concerning the prophet was fulfilled in his coming, the promise of the kingdom of God's coming was also fulfilled when Jesus Christ was here, walked upon this earth. And Jesus Christ preached, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." If you're here and you're lost, and you may disagree with me, you may take offense, and again, you may want to argue it. But if you're here and you're lost, I kind of think you know it. I kind of think you know you've never had that miraculous salvation experience that all these people around you have had. I think you know you've never been saved. And what are the words of the prophet? What are the words of Jesus Christ to you, my friend? Not my words, not this pastor's words, not this church's words. What are the words of Jesus Christ? What are the words of the prophet of the Lord to you if you're here and you're lost? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent, see yourself as a sinner by the grace of God. And believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried for you, rose again for you. As the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? What must you do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is that point where I'm not going to spend any time trying to define or explain what I don't believe so you think badly of me. I think Baptists are ashamed or not maybe ashamed. I think we're afraid to tell sinners what they need to do to be saved, lest we be labeled an Arminian. Jesus Christ Himself looked at these sinners and said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, you're going to perish.
Right.
In fact, He said over in Luke chapter 13, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He gives the example of some who perished there in that passage of Scripture. And He told those that unless you repent, you're going to perish also. How many times, my lost friend, have you said in church? How many times has somebody told you about the Lord? How many times has a parent told you they're concerned about your soul? How many times have you thought, I don't have what these Christians have? How many times have you heard Jesus Christ say, repent and believe the gospel, but you didn't? I can't explain that other than say God saves according to His time, His place and schedule. But I can say right now, if you're lost, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As has been said a couple times, come to the end of yourself. Come to the end of you're trying to do something. Come to the end of trying to think you can work it up and earn it. See yourself as a sinner by the grace of God and repent and turn from those. Be made sick by your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not apologize for saying, if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, because Jesus said it. The apostles said it. The early churches said it. It's still true in 2019. What you need to do to be saved is repent and believe the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus preached that. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. From that time forth, Christ began to speak about future things, about future events. And He plainly declares here that there was a day ahead of Him in which He would suffer many things. Suffer many things. And we know those prophecies, those words came true, didn't they? Our Lord and Savior went to Jerusalem, was seized, brutalized, crucified, and suffered many things. Our Lord, the prophet, prophesied and declared those things. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, I'm sorry. Verse 18. John 15, verse 18. Jesus speaking here says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." The prophet declared he was going to suffer many things and be crucified, buried again, buried and risen again. But he also prophesied that his true disciples would, after his example, suffer many things. Think it not strange when you suffer for the cause of Christ, because Christ suffered. As Christ prophesied his suffering, he also prophesied to the disciples their suffering in being identified with his name. If you're truly born again, if you're truly a child of God, it's because Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for you. And if you're truly one of his, you're going to be called upon to suffer also. Paul said, "All that live godly might." No. "All that live godly shall." We heard a lot about that word "shall" today. It'll be. It's going to happen. It's going to come. "All that live godly shall suffer persecution." And as we go through the book of Acts on Sunday morning at home, we're in that portion, the latter part of the book of Acts, where it really begins to be a study of Paul's life. He's pretty well the main focus. And you see Paul called upon time and time again to suffer, time and time again to defend himself, time and time again to stand and deliver for Jesus Christ. Paul suffered many things. And I look at myself and I say, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Where's my suffering? Where's your suffering? Do we have a different Christianity than Paul? Paul stood and delivered for his Lord, and he suffered for it. Maybe we're not standing and delivering for the Lord like we ought to. Maybe we're too concerned with appeasing people, too concerned with being politically correct, too concerned with avoiding conflict. So much so that we're not living godly, holy, separated lives, identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ, telling people that they're sinners in need of a Savior and Jesus Christ is the Savior. Maybe our brand, our stripe of Christianity is deficient. I believe we need to ask ourselves, if the prophet Jesus foretold his suffering and then foretold that all of his disciples would also suffer, and we find in the example of the New Testament time and time again Christians having to suffer for Jesus. I think it was Peter who said then, we ought not to think it strange when we're called on to suffer. Suffering is a part of being a Christian, and we need to expect it. Christ went through it, and in all things he left us an example. And eventually, we're going to go through it. And as been alluded to a few times in this conference, we haven't seen much of that, but it's coming. It's coming. It's right upon the threshold. Do we have what it takes to suffer for Jesus Christ? So he declared, the kingdom had come. Preached to repent and believe, enter the kingdom. He preached and prophesied about his suffering many things, prepared his disciples to suffer many things. And he also promised and prophesied to come again. The prophet told us, I think John 14 has been alluded to a couple times, taken to a couple times in messages. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's what the prophet Jesus Christ declared. He looked to the future and said, I have to return to the Father, but I will not leave you comfortless. Don't let yourself be troubled. If I go, I will come again. And I don't want to be negative, because that second point was probably a little bit negative for a lot of people. But I really feel in my life and in the general life of God's people, one of the last things we're looking for is Jesus Christ to come. All you have to do to prove that is look at how we're living. We're living at leisure. We're living at pleasure. We're doing what we want. We're in a time of prosperity. Our churches are in a time of prosperity. God's people are going like never before. We have to preach so much about being faithful to church because there's so much unfaithfulness. Even in the ministry, I see in men of God, they're going all the time. They're traveling and vacationing, and they're resorting everywhere. These are not signs and symptoms of people who are looking for Jesus at any moment. When I preached this at home, and I preached this down in Elkton a little while ago, I just gave the test. Did you think this morning when you first woke up, this could be the day Jesus could come again? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Search your own heart. How many times has it crossed your mind through the continuance of this day? This could be the day Jesus comes. Do we believe it? Do the prophecies of Scripture fail? Can the prophet of God lie? Is Jesus Christ coming again? Do you really believe He's coming again? You'll not prove that by your words. You and I will prove we really believe that by how we live our lives. Jesus Christ, His coming is imminent. At any moment. We've gone all through these services and everybody's anticipating their coming to an end. But the Lord could come before they end. His coming is that near. Are you right? Are you ready? Many churches represented here today. God's so good to us. We have so much to be thankful for. But are our churches ready? A couple times there, as he addressed the seven churches of Revelation, he told New Testament Baptist churches they needed to do some repenting. They needed to be getting some things right. They needed to be watching and waiting and looking, lest he come. Does your life, does my life really reflect our faith and our belief that He's coming? Hebrews chapter 11, as those great heroes of the faith are mentioned, they declared plainly that they sought a country. They declared plainly. Do we declare plainly such things? 1 John chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Uh-oh. Back it up. Stop right there, Brother Titus. Don't even go there. Don't talk about loving the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, wanting to be somebody in the world. Don't go there! But something hit me so hard a few weeks ago when I was looking at that passage of Scripture. If you love the world, the love of the Father, I believe he's talking to Christians, the love of the Father is not in you. That was so sobering to me. So much of God's people and churches that we know and fellowship with are seeking the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the notoriety to be somebody in this world, not realizing that all the time the love of the world consumes us, the love of the Father is not in us. Moses was given a prophecy concerning the prophet of God, which was Jesus Christ, identified and plainly shown to be that prophet. His word was from the Father, it wasn't his own. His doctrine, his teachings, he got from his Father. And he was faithful in declaring. He declared many things. Many, many messages could be preached on things he declared. But he declared the kingdom had come. And the kingdom is here now. As well as the church, of course. They're not the same thing. But Jesus, the prophet, the Messiah, the Son of God, said, unless you repent. Am I speaking to you today? Do you need to be saved? Unless you repent, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. If you read there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord uses a word that means responsibility. We don't think we can justify responsibility with sovereign grace. But they're both taught in the Bible.
Amen.
God is going to save who God has chosen to save right on time, and none are going to be lost. But you are not responsible to concern yourself with whether or not you're one of the elect. You are responsible to hear the message, repent, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You walk out these doors today lost like you have many, many times before. God's going to hold you responsible for having heard the message of salvation. Verse 19 of our text, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. And God's going to hold you accountable. God's going to hold you responsible for having heard that declaration from the Lord and continued on in your sin. God is still saving souls. Look around you and see how many here are saved. He'll save you. If you hear the words. He declared that he suffered many things and we would also suffer many things. God help us be willing to stand and deliver for Jesus Christ. Irregardless of the cost. Irregardless of the suffering. Jesus Christ declared he would come again. Don't be a mocker. Don't be a scoffer. Don't be a change in doctrine. Well, I used to believe in the pre-tribulation coming and the pre-millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Well, it's been so long, maybe I need to reevaluate and believe something else. That's a scoffer's attitude. Don't change what you believe. Don't be a scoffer who says, where's the promise of his coming? Because right here's the book.
Amen.
Where you find the promise of his coming. And it's just as sure in 2019 as it has ever been before.
Right.
1,000 years is as nothing with the Father. You can't use the passing of time as a reason to believe Christ isn't coming. The fact that it's been a couple thousand years and a couple thousand years is only like a couple days with God only implies the fact that it could be today. This could be the last day we have on earth. He's coming again. In Peter's sermon, he said, whosoever will not hear this prophet will be destroyed. Chew on that for a while. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Let's stand.